Yes, again, welcome to day four of the Sutta study class. So far we have been discussing, we have finished two topics. First time we talked about, what did we talk the first 2 days? Buddhist, the theory of knowledge, right? The Kalam Sutra, and actually we only covered the Kalam Sutra. Yeah, that's all right. And in the second day, the first 2 days we talked about the Buddhist theory of knowledge, and the third day we started the Buddhist philosophy about the human being, the position of the human being. Also we learned that the human being and his or her position in the world. So what is the, can you refresh your memories about the sutra that we discussed last time? Correct. So we sutra, those who missed the class last time, we talked about the Aghanya Sutra, where the Buddha presented the Buddhist theory about the human evolution, right? And it's a kind of a myth, but it has served the Buddha's purpose, right? In that discourse, the Buddha wanted to convey the message that the people are not created, first of all. And so people are not created as who they are recognized in that society, in other words. You know, the Buddhism is very much close to a scientific kind of a teaching, because remember the first time we talked about, right, when this is, that is, remember, when A is there, B is there, arising A, B arises, like the cause and effect. So that in this Buddhist theory, Buddhist science, we don't have the concepts based on speculations, rather we have concepts based on understanding. We could see it as it. So that was the teaching. So then the Buddha wanted to, in the Aghanya Sutra, the message Buddha wanted to give is that the human beings are equal, because they are just the Buddha attacked, in a sense, refuted, right? Buddha refuted the very foundation, right? The very foundation upon which all these beliefs are based, right? You cannot just say this is wrong, but this is a kind of a scientific, kind of philosophical approach, so that Buddha challenged, refuted, so that if that foundation breaks down, right, the rest breaks down too. Okay. So today we come to the one more sutras. This is this sutra is found, and actually today I believe we can cover these two sutras. So we continue the same discussion, the man as well as woman, right? And he saw her position in the world. Okay. So this is called the middle-length saying. Middle-length saying, section 3. We have this sutra where these two kinds of Brahmins, their names are, the two names, Vasetta and Bharadvaja, two persons, right? Vasetta and Bharadvaja. So they were, as I said last time, the Buddha created is such a rational argumentation in his society that the mainstream Brahmins, right? They were the dominant people in their society, right? But they listened to the Buddha's teaching, right? So they accepted Buddha's teaching, and some of them became Buddha's followers. Okay, but still they were caught in this trap, right? You know, when we live in a certain society, still we are trapped in that, right? We want to think beyond that, but still we are trapped society. So their beliefs, you know, it's very surprising sometimes, right? We look at, we challenge somebody else's beliefs and traditions, but we don't challenge our own beliefs and traditions. And we have such things. Okay, so because we are there. We are there, they have become part of our lives, therefore we don't want to challenge them. Okay, we don't want to think beyond that. But these two people also were living in that society, among people who created that truth. So So they heard the same thing. Okay, so they were created. They were created, so you are the highest. Okay, so you are the highest. You are educated, you are highest. By birth, you are highest. The Buddha wanted to challenge that. If someone is... Okay, this is a translation. It should come together. If someone is unsoiled and undisturbed on both the mother's and father's side, as far back as 7 generations, he becomes a Brahmin. Okay, that was a tradition. Okay, so you have to go back to 7 generations, very pure, right? The pure Brahmin means not recently, right? So for back to 7 generations. So that you are a Brahmin. And when you are Brahmin, so it means that it's by birth, right? It's by birth. So that, so the argument arose that they were, that argument was in that society, in their own circle, and Buddha has presented a different view, so that they wanted to visit the Buddha and find out. Friends Bharadwaja, there is a recluse, Gautama, the son of Sakya, gone forth. So this is about the Buddha. The Buddha teaches a different religion, different teaching, and let us go there, okay? And let us approach him and ask him a question. And as he explains it, let us both accept it, okay? This is what the Buddha, if Buddha agrees it, let us accept it. Or Buddha disagrees, let us take it also. So now from here onward, we have it in verse. Okay. Now, I'm not sure whether the Buddha uttered this in verse or they preserved it in verse. Okay. Remember we said earlier that, you know, for the sake of preservation, certain things were reduced to verse. So that's the best way you memorize, right? You know, it is it's easy for you to remember a poem rather than a book or something like it, a paragraph or something written in prose. So that is why maybe, but there are occasions that Buddha has uttered his stanzas. Okay, but I'm not sure whether all of them Buddha said, but this is the Buddha's teaching. So the same thing, they go there and they tell the Buddha. So each of us could not convince the other, right? So one said, this is true. The other said, no, it's not true. They both argued, and this Buddha is an enlightened person who can solve the disagreement. Okay, the world is enlightened. We ask Gautama, does one become a Brahmin by birth or else by action? Okay, so this is the question. Okay. Now, the Brahmin tradition always believed, right? A person is a Brahmin. Now, this Brahmin means, it's a kind of a symbolic word also, right? It's not just a Brahmin is not a Brahmin, but it's Brahmin means a higher person, okay? Higher person, okay? Now, discrimination in a sense, right? Okay, you are higher because you are, by birth, you are a Brahmin. I think it's the same thing we have even today, right? In different societies. I believe that by birth. Okay. Now they're asking, is it by birth or by action? Okay. Correct. Yes, correct. It's meaningless.
Meaningless.
Meaningless. Okay. Yeah, something like certain things. Yeah, certain things we should not. We are not attaining. It's not beneficial. You know, in the Dhammapada, Buddha said, okay, this one, okay. Some people, when they hear the truth, okay, they understand the truth just like the tongue feels the taste instantly. On another occasion, Buddha said, people don't understand truth at all, even though, like, you know, the soup, you stir it with the spoon never feel the taste, right? The soup is stirred, it's like a curry. When you cook curry, right? Curry, you use a spoon to stir it and mix it all the time, but it never feel rest. So there are some people, you try so hard certain things to explain, they never see that. So it's useless talking about it. Yeah.
Would this count as right speech?
Yes, it's right. Part of right speech. It's a part of right speech. Okay, yeah.
So
actually,
in other words, it's not only just understanding. It's like Mike said, I mean, it's just like, you know, if you're not achieving anything, not going to help the crowd who's there, it's not
point. I'll give you one example.
Right moment, right person to come, then he'll talk.
Yes, correct. And so I experienced it through by my own experience. So when I went to the University of Sri Lanka, so I started doing the Buddhist philosophy. It's a second year, second, third and fourth year. So I specialize in Buddhist philosophy for my bachelor's degree. So when I started learning Buddhist philosophy, I was going through a kind of a transformation. So at the temple, I learned Buddhist culture, and you know, Buddhist culture and Buddhist philosophy are two different things. Then I found that what we practice in culturally at the temple was very much different from Buddha's teaching. Okay. I know in one temple in Attanagala, there is a senior monk. He was a very, very traditional monk. So he doesn't study Buddha's teaching in deep, but he goes to the vihara every morning and he does his services, like the rituals, like that. He sit, meditate. And I wanted to, so he always listened to me. He's a very senior. Around those days, he was around 75 something at that age. So I wanted to talk to him about what I learned in the university. Right, so he had done a kind of argumentation, resisted at the beginning, but I talked in such a way with all this evidence that he could not resist it anymore. But eventually he said, "That's okay, I have been doing all this so far, I'll do it." So it means I will continue what I have been doing so far. I don't so. Okay, so I felt very sorry for myself for saying, trying to give him this new knowledge and new wisdom something, right? You know, I don't know, is it ignorance, you know? There is a kind of a saying that were ignorance a bliss, it were folly to be wise. Right. Were ignorance a bliss, it were folly to be wise. So sometimes people be happy with ignorance. Because they are ignorant, they are happy. But this purpose of what is that, right? So I tried to destroy that happiness by trying to make him wiser. I shouldn't have said that. Right? So that is an example.
What was different?
What was the difference?
Between
different practice?
Yeah.
So one difference is the having... Okay, having the puja is a bodhi puja. Okay. Now, that's right.
I didn't pass my exam.
Correct.
So it's kind of confidence you get.
Correct.
As a little kid.
Correct.
That, you know.
Yeah, these are the trends, you know, in the world. We don't know whether it's a correct or wrong. It's a development or progress or whatever. They are just trends. Now in Sri Lanka, you have bodhi puja. So everybody is going to bodhi puja. And you are just asking this instance as means, Boradune mata avasara denne, the please permit the bodhi tree. Please forgive me. Please understand. It's like that. Okay. So I did that bodhi puja. I started doing the bodhi puja when I was 14 years old, right? So I was popular in that area of bodhi puja from that age. So this is one of the topics I talked about. So then I said it is not, you know, we were in our 20, I was 19 when I went to the university, right? We were very rebellious also, right? We did not know the real meaning of the bodhi puja. So what I said, that's a bodhi puja, is completely wrong, right? But I believe I argued convincingly, but the monk said, that's okay, I want to live in my own world, right? So that too should not be spoken. That is the point. You know, there are trends, I don't know, in any culture we have certain trends. These trends are initiated by a factor, okay? But this modern progress, for instance, okay, now we have all this modern progress, okay? Everything goes back to a certain historical factor, which is the Industrial Revolution, Okay, because of industrial revolution, we build all these houses, roads, progress, everything. But is it progress? I don't know whether it's progress or not. It's just a trend. Everybody is caught in that trend, right?
Depending on what you call progress.
Right. So we say that, oh, we have expanded, life expectancy is very long now, but a similar number of people die by getting sick like that. So it's the different diseases, and you know.
So it all depends on what we want.
Okay, let's come here. So Buddha gives this all the examples from nature. This is a kind of a scientific, okay, in the way that these people understand. So Buddha says, I will give you step by step how it happened. Okay, so the truth, although they are not aware. Buddha says that there are differences by birth, but there are differences by tradition, by society. Differences created by society. So see 603, for instance, look at the animals, small and large. They have attributes peculiar to their births. Okay. So only thing is that in nature, the whole purpose of this one is, of course, you look at nature. Nature means plants, trees, animals, insects, all kind of things. And compare that with the human being. Okay, when you compare this, you see there's nothing peculiar among human beings, but there are differences among animals. Okay, 605, look at the fish too, who find food in the water. They have attributes peculiar to their births. Okay. So, actually, there's a beautiful inverse here. Look at the birds flying through the air. They have attributes peculiar to their birds. Okay, 607. Although these have various attributes, this means these animals and insects, at birth, in humans, various attributes are not evident at birth. Okay, so that point. Okay, nothing is different in the human being. Actually, the science has now shown that, right? There are nothing different in human beings, genes. And even human beings and monkeys and chimpanzees, right? Very much similar, right? 97% of the genes of chimpanzee and humans, 90, some that area is the same. So the Buddha points out that there are not in the hair, head, ears or eyes, not in the mouth, nose, lips or eyelashes. So in the entire body, Buddha says there are no differences, okay, in the human body. Okay, then the Buddha's point here is that in the individual bodies of humans, these are not evident. They are designated by the activities of humans. Okay. Now this point is very, very important. Okay. So any attributes assigned to the human being. Now during the Buddha's time, there are four, right? There are the four. The religious people, you do religion. And other, you fight in war, you rule the country, right? You are rulers and you are soldiers. And the other one is you are the farmers and business people like that, and other group is you are servants, right? All of these attributes were assigned by society, by human beings. Remember last time we learned about, it's a kind of an enlightening thing for me once I learn it. Actually, it's the first time I heard that statement, but I had thought in that way because of this Buddhist influence. But when I came to Texas Tech and I heard this statement, it's a kind of an enlightening understanding. Okay, the statement is, the truths are social constructs. Yeah, it's a very, very important saying. The truths are social constructs. Actually, that is what the Buddha is striving here to prove. That is science. Truths are, you know, many truths that appear to us today as absolute truths, I think I mentioned last time, right? you know, they appear to be to us absolute truths, but once upon a time it was created by societies, right? So idea in the Eastern world and in the Western world even, okay, are they absolute truths? On the other hand, among what we believe, they are very kind of a so what we are, yes, it's social constructs. The truths are social constructs that we have to realize, understand it, not hear it. That is, once you understand it, you look at things with a lot of wisdom. The truths are social constructs. Yeah. And we learn that we have the right to change that. Okay. If the truth is a social construct, who are you? Who am I? I'm a social being. Right? I'm a social being. Then what is, if some social beings in the past created some truths, okay, instead of accepting these truths, we have the right to challenge these truths. Not just to accept these truths, right? To challenge, if they are pragmatic and useful, we can accept it, we can challenge it, and we can reshuffle it, we can renew it. Okay? So we can add a lot of changes instead of, so that is what Buddha says here. Okay, he says it is a social truth. So that if it's a social truth, you can resist, you can challenge it. Six 12. Among humans, whoever made livelihood looking after cattle was set on him as a farmer, not as a Brahmin. Okay, it means that you came to be known as a farmer simply because you did that. Okay, you did that. So all of them, among humans, whoever makes a livelihood by trading, known him as a merchant. Okay, so Buddha gives various examples here. Continue. Okay, so among humans, number 618, among humans, whoever make a livelihood by advising the king, Vasetta known him as an advisor. Humans, whoever makes a livelihood enjoying the wealth of the village and country, is known him as a king, not a Brahmin. One born of a Brahmin woman's womb is not a Brahmin, but is a defilement. When he is no defilement, and I call him a Brahmin. Okay, now this is the turning point. Okay, now the Buddha comes to this point here. So so far what Buddha said is that, okay, these are all social attributes, okay, the social attributes. So you can change them, okay, you have the right to challenge them, your social attributes. Okay. So even though you are born in a Brahmin's, you are a child of a Brahmin, but still you are not a Brahmin, right? But I call a certain person a Brahmin. Because, what is this means? When he has defilement and no ceasing, cease means grasping. That's called lobha. In other words, this means lobha dosa moha. If certain person defilements are defilements are the mental conditions. Okay, this unwholesome mental conditions. If a certain person, okay. So, if one endures scoldings and flogging with an angry mind, develop patience and a lot of it, I call him a Brahmin. No, in other words, now what the Buddha is going to say here, that he did not change the word Brahmin. Rather, he gave a new interpretation to the word Brahmin. Okay. Anybody, now this all based on that person's actions. Actions means, actions are threefold, remember? Threefold actions, right? What are these three? Yes, verbal, physical and mental, correct, yes. So, these actions means what you speak, what you do and what you, and how you think. So, this defilements means inner behavior also is included. So, actions means your behavior, your verbal, physical and mental behavior. Okay, so, any person who improves this behavior. Okay, so again we go back to that Buddha's teaching. Na chacha vasalo hoti, na chacha hoti brahmano, kamana vasalo hoti, kamana hoti brahmano. That in the Vasala Sutra, a person becomes higher or low not because of that person's birth, but because of that person's actions. Vasala Sada or the lovers. Actually, in Indian society, these sudras are also integrated into that culture, is a part of that culture, but they are not outcasts. Outcasts are the others. Okay, so outcasts are even worse. They don't belong to that society at all. Yeah. There are others.
In Indian culture,
there are some people who have Some people are never regarded as a part of that. Shudra? Vasala. They are Shudra?
They are below
Shudra.
They are lowest,
supposed to be the lowest. They are lowest, right. They are lowest. Yeah.
But they're the ones who clean the
streets,
the cremation grounds.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. They do all the stuff that's
easier. But I thought
the four groups that in the system. Again, the Buddha continues to say that if one endures his scalding and flogging, so it is not angry, austere, virtuous, not haughty, with taming he bears the last body. I call him Brahmin. Okay. Okay, so here also it is detached, right? Detachment. 625 is detachment. A person who practices detachment is called a Brahmin. Okay. 629. Giving up punishment, leaving things infirm or firm. Okay, giving up punishing living things infirm or firm. When he does not kill or hurt anyone, I'll call him a Brahmin. This non-violence, right? So you know that. You also understand here the Buddha's other teachings, right? Non-violence, punishment, Buddha never accepted it. Okay. Look at the next one. Among enemies without enmity. Among those hurt in the self extinguished. When among ceasing within ceasing, I call him a Brahmin. Okay. 634 is without desires for this world and the next, and without desires is unyoked, I call him a Brahmin. Okay, this is also important. Okay, remember that the tanha desire, the Pali word, the desire is called tanha. Remember three kinds of tanha? They are called kama tanha, bhava tanha and vibhava tanha. Okay, desire is threefold. Kama tanha means your desire for the materialistic possessions, money, wealth. And bhava tanha means, bhava means be, to be, desire to be. Okay, you know if you think, oh, in the next world I want to be a better person, I want to be born in that world, that is why I do it, that is another manifestation of desire. Does any of you do good things expecting to be born in a better place next life?
I think we all do.
Vibhava tanha means actually desire not to be born, to finish everything in this life. Yeah. Remember, they believe during the Buddha's time, they have philosophers, there are people who believe in even modern society. What is the use of next? Nothing, I don't know. But can be happy. I don't want to exist in the next life. So there are people who believe like that. Right? In the Buddha's time also, they, you know, They have, that theory is called carpe diem. Could have heard that. There's the carpe diem. Carpe means capture. Diem means day. You capture the day. You enjoy now. And nothing exists hereafter. This carpe diem theory went to Greece just 50 years after Buddha passed away. So during that time, in Persian empires, they have easy routes to Europe. So desire for materialistic thing, desire to be born and desire not to be born. So a person who has removed all these desires, I call that person a Brahmin. So throughout his life, Buddha has launched this kind of the effort, okay? So to transform society, social beliefs. You know what the Buddha did was, that is very interesting. He did not change the names. Brahma, yeah, Brahma is a good word, Buddha said. Instead, he reinterpreted these words. Even the four. Remember the Buddha's then society existed of four groups, right? The Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Buddha also created a society with four groups. The four, okay, that's good. Who are the members of those four groups in the Buddha society? Bhikkhu, Bhikkhuni, Upasaka, Upasika. Bhikkhu means monks, nuns, laymen, laywomen. Right. Anybody coming from all these four, any? The example is, there are four great rivers in India, right? They are called Yamuna, Ganga, Achiravati, what's the other river? Sarabhu. Sarabhu. Okay, four rivers. Buddha said, these four rivers, the waters of these four rivers, okay, when the waters falls into the ocean, okay, that's called ocean water. Right? This is not, okay, this water came from this river, nobody says that this ocean water. In the same way, in my society, anybody coming from any group, whether it's a man or a woman, okay, it is, they are equal, it's the ocean water, it's the disciples of my order. Actually, what the Buddha did was that he created a new society within a traditional society. He did not challenge, that's how he challenged it, okay? Created a new society. Anybody can come here and be member. Right. What is the easiest way to? What is the first condition to be a member? Take refuge in the triple gem. Yes, take refuge in the triple gem. So they listen to the Buddha, and oh yes, you are teaching. Okay, you take refuge. Okay, yeah, you are a follower of this society. Right? It's a brand new society. If you read the Mahaparinibbana Sutra, you will see that how successful Buddha was by the time he passed away. Buddha says, in my this society, there are hundreds of thousands of monks, hundreds of thousands of nuns, hundreds of thousands of laymen and laywomen. Okay? So during these 45 years, Buddha brought about a huge change in that society. By the time Buddha passed away, right, he created such a big change in that society. But why it did not last in India? Mongols, right? Correct. They came here and they attacked it. And during the Buddha's time, because Buddha was such a powerful spiritual progress, maybe his enlightenment, so he was so much powerful in the society that he made. But after that, they counterattacked. The counterattacks. But still, Buddhism, even in the post-Buddhist era, Buddhism flourished in India. Not only in India, it came all over. It came even to Europe and, in this Afghanistan area. Remember that what Buddhas they are called, the Buddhas that they destroyed, terrorists destroyed? Banyan Buddha or something? Banyan Buddha, huge Buddha statues, they sent rockets and they destroyed. So, lot of people, Buddhism was spreading. But then what happened, you know, in Pakistan area, it's a bit of Buddhists. But what happened after that is, so Hindus, you know, sometimes, you know, sometimes you kiss the hand that you cannot cut, right? That's what they say, you know. And they said Buddha is also reincarnation of, they tried to integrate the Buddha's teaching also into Hinduism. The Buddha is also part of Hinduism, like that, you know. So that is one thing they did. And on the other hand, later on, the fatal blows were delivered by the invading Muslims. Yeah. The Nalanda University was one of the most the successful university during that time, which was burnt and reduced to ashes. You know, the reports. Correct, the books, right? You know, this. Over 6 months, the reports say that over 6 months, the smell of the burn, they continue to burn. Okay, hundreds of miles away, they felt the smell of this ola, what's it called? This palm leaves, the burn smell of palm leaves. You know, how long does it?
Yeah. The walls of the university is about that size.
That size?
That wide, you know, even being too small.
It's non-violence, you know. Buddhists never, in the history, you know that they never counter-attacked. Yes. Yeah, if Buddhists were attacked, they left that place and went somewhere else. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, extremists, that's how Buddhism survived in Sri Lanka and other countries with the support of good rulers, because sometimes extremists, you know, try to destroy it, right? And good rulers supported Buddhism, it flourished. Right. Other than that, okay. Even in Sri Lanka, this happened. Some invaders, right?
Yeah.
You know, from sometimes whoever they saw, they killed children, adults, and women, and everybody. Okay, that's how these invasions happened in Sri Lanka. But it still survived. Okay, we come to the next sutra. This is interesting. This is a different viewpoint. Okay, so during the Buddha's time, people believed that, so because you can attend higher levels and you can change the situations only if you are permitted to do so by birth. But you have not been permitted by birth. Okay, but there are other factors. Okay, you cannot try. Actually, you should not try, because there are other factors that have decided your fate. Okay. When there are other factors, it's okay, you know, you cannot change, right? Don't try it. Okay, even though you try, you cannot change. So that was the teaching. Okay, that was another strategy for this Brahmin's tradition to keep that social structure unchanged. Okay. So what are these? The Buddha discussed these points, and Buddha challenged, refuted all these concepts. So the Buddha says, once there are these three sectarian guilds that when cross-examined, pressed for reasons and rebuked by wise people, even though they may explain otherwise, remain stuck in inaction, which are three. Okay, these are the three points, okay. But before that, see this rational argumentation with these words, see, when cross-examined, pressed for reasons and rebuked by wise people. Okay. When you present an argument, what are the three components in an argument? You know, Buddha had known all of them, right? Three components of an argument. Okay. Number one is, you have to have a statement claim, right? You have to have a claim. How do you support a claim? Evidence comes. Yeah, evidence is essential, but before evidence, something else should come.
Experience
is also part of evidence. Effect is also evidence. But that word is here.
Wisdom.
Reason, did you say reason?
I said wisdom.
Wisdom. If you have wisdom, you give good reasons. We always argue, we support an argument with reasons. Right. the rational argumentation. Rational argumentation means word rational comes from reason. Right. In an argument, you have a claim and a reason. Okay. But the reason is supported by, by facts, evidence, examples. Okay. The reason should show wisdom, of course. Okay. Now, for instance, somebody say, okay, a smoker says, somebody say, oh, I want to leave. I want to go right now. That's your claim. Then your teacher would ask, why? Okay. Then you have to give a reason, right? Okay. Before you give reasons, you cannot give evidence. Okay. You have to say, I have to go because I have a headache. Okay. Okay. So now you have given reason. Okay. Now you will have to give evidence to support that you have a headache. But here you cannot give an evidence, right? Okay. Now, for instance, if a student in a class, would say, I missed the class yesterday because I had an accident on my way to this campus. Okay, that's a reason. Okay, now that your professor would ask you, what? You had an accident? Okay, how do I know? Okay, the student would take a picture, right? Look at the picture. Okay, see this, my car was rear-ended. Okay, now you are giving evidence, right? So evidence comes next, okay, reason. So that is the press for reasons. Buddha, all the time Buddha press for reasons, okay? The argument is strong when the reasons are strong. Okay. Reasons to be strong, it should have a strong warrant. I don't know whether, did we discuss this last time? Claim, reason, warrant? Maybe we did not discuss, right? For argument to be strong, it should have a claim. The claim to be, it should have strong reasons. The reason should have a strong warrant. Okay. Now, for instance, this example. For instance, if you say that, I want to buy a brand new Lexus because my sister has bought one. We said that, right?
We talked about it, right.
I want to buy a brand new Lexus because my sister has bought one. Okay. In other words, that's the reason is, we mentioned this. Somebody would say, I smoke because I love it. Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. I smoke because I love smoking. Is it a strong reason?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe. Don't grab this carpe diem theory. Capture the day, right? You know, I love it means it's what you... I like it, something like that. So the warrant is anybody can do anything if that person likes it. Okay. So here the Buddha always asks for reasons. Reasons means weak reason, Buddha always challenge these reasons. It's not acceptable. Okay, these are the three views they hold. Okay, first view is whatever person experiences is a pleasant, painful, or neither pleasant nor painful, that all caused by what was done in the past. Okay, that is the first view. That's what you call sukhangva, dukkhangva, adukkhama, sukhangva, sabbantang, pubbe, kata, hetu. The Pali term is called pubbe, kata, hetu. Pubbe means in the past lives. Kata means done. Hetu means a cause. The cause is, in other words, our existence, our happiness, If you do well in your studies or in your work or in your business, you make enough money, you make more money, or you win a lottery or something, the cause is, I think you're thinking about this million something, right? million, right? That is the cause of it is pubbe kata hetu. It is the effect of the karmas I committed in the past. Okay, now that is how the Brahmin tradition silenced the Shudras and all other castes. Okay, so you are born as a Shudra because on the one hand, some said, you were created like that, Your ancestor, the first person, was created like that, and you continue to be born in that particular group because you had done bad karma. Okay. Now, what should you do if you want to be born as a Brahmin next life? What should you do? You should not resist. Okay, you have to accept that karma. Okay, and you have to suffer in this life.
According to Brahmin,
that is Brahmin's will. Okay, don't go against Brahmin's will. This divine power, right? You have to suffer, and next life you will be born in a better place. Okay, a very good strategy, right? To silence people. You know, sometimes some, you know, religious beliefs, they use that. Even in the Western tradition, that's what they did. Okay. You know, the ideas, for instance, in religion, everything is a social construct. In sociology, everything is a social construct. All religious beliefs are social constructs in a sense. Okay. So that you have heard about the Dark Age in Europe. Okay. The Dark Age is from the fall of the Greek democracy to the rise of the Roman Empire to the Renaissance, about 1000 years. That's what you call Dark Age. Even the Dark Age, it's called Dark Age because no new discoveries or inventions. Okay, so society suppressed all the new ideas, everything was suppressed. That was done by Roman Empire to maintain the empire. So, you know, you gave a religious belief to society. Okay, this is the truth. All others are false. Like that. Okay. So that you should not resist it. Or this is the truth. Like that. It's a strategy. But these strategies were used everywhere in the world. So one is that any experience, it can be a pleasant experience, unpleasant experience, or neutral experience, is caused by your past karmas. That's called karma. Okay. The second view is this. All caused by in the past. Okay. Second one is starting with there. There are Brahmins and contemplatives who hold this teaching, hold this view. Whatever person experienced, pleasant, plain, painful, neither pleasant nor painful, that is all caused by the Supreme Being's action of creation. Okay. Now the second theory is the concept of creation. Okay. Now the Supreme Being concept, so it's a divine power. Okay. So they were created again. Okay. So created as Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, and therefore that's the cause. Okay. So again you have to accept it. Yeah, you cannot challenge it. I think in India, still they believe like this. Still they believe like that. They were forced to believe. They have been conditioned like that. And they think, oh yeah. So, this is the truth. Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah. Okay. So, so far it is, first is karma. Second one is divine creation. What's the third one? Whatever a person experiences, pleasant, painful, or neither pleasant nor painful, that is all without a cause and without condition. That means that's called ahetu apachevada. Ahetu, no cause, apache, no effect, nothing cause. What does it actually mean? You know, in the Western society, we had in 200 years ago, that's called the theory of the absurd. The theory of the absurd, it means that, you know, whatever you do, okay, whether good or bad, they are null and void, okay. Things happen, okay. Whether you are a good person or a bad person, okay, anything can happen to you. No cause, no effect, just things happen. Okay, that's the other teaching. Okay. You know, the society in general held these three views. Any question? Is it clear, the last point? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you do all kinds of good things, but still nothing good happened to you. And you can do all kinds of bad things, no bad actions. In one sutra, it's called, from this end to the other end of the something, okay, you walk, you travel, and destroying life and robbing and doing all kind of business, but still nothing bad happens to you, right? It's something like that. Okay, so these are the three views. They are kind of an sectarian sectarian, right? Sectarian views. Okay, they are very commonly held views during Buddhist society. Okay, so they all were not held by Brahmins. Okay, actually Brahmins held the first two theories. On the one hand, it's a karma theory, and on the other hand, the creation theory. And Brahmins were not the only people who held the karma theory. Who do you think others who held the karma theory? Yes, right. Jains? Jains. Okay. Jains, right? Yeah. They held that. So you have a lot of bad karmas here. This life you have to suffer a lot, and the next life you can get rid of these karmas.
We too believe in that?
No, we don't believe in that. The Buddhists do not believe in that. So the Buddhist teaching is karma. Actually, Buddha gave an altogether new interpretation to the word karma. Okay, karma. So the Buddha said, kammana vasalo hoti kammana hoti brahmano. Right? Kammana vasalo hoti kammana hoti brahmana. You become great or low because of karma. Buddha accept the word karma, but Buddha gave a new interpretation. So this sutra itself is an example. Buddha did not accept any of these three things. These three theories were presented by the then existent other teachers and other traditions. Jains, and also there are some others, they are called Ajivakas. So some believe that different views. And Pandiparanda talked about that, right? That's called Brahmajala Sutra. Brahmajala, right? 62 different theories. Yes, correct.
He talked
about the main Mahavira. You know, some people said, even though you do all kinds of good or bad things, it doesn't matter. Remember that the ball of the strings, what's called? All the strings. Okay, you drop, you go to the top of the mountain and you hold the one end and you drop it. It rolls down and it goes through to the very end. Okay? Yeah, in the same way, whether you do hold some actions or unhold some action, it doesn't matter, nothing happens. Everybody goes a certain period of existence, life. So you end it naturally. So your karma is null and void. Okay. So they taught that teaching. Okay, Buddha says here, I approach these people. Okay, and Buddha has approached these people. Look at the now, it's a whole Buddha's life is a kind of an argumentation, right? Buddha went from place to place. Buddha went to monasteries. Okay. Buddha went to debating halls. Actually, in that society, the one of the most important things in a certain city was to have a debating hall. Every city constructed a debating hall. So all these recluses, Brahmins and Buddha and all other, they go there and they argue openly. Right. That's what you call rational. Buddha says, I'm never scared of any of these things, or the conversations and debates, and nobody can defeat me in argumentation because I give good reasons, strong reasons. Okay, so they all are not based on kind of speculations. Rather, these reasons comes from, remember the two points, humanistic, pragmatic argumentation, right? Humanistic, pragmatic argumentation, so that they cannot defeat me. Okay, so these were the three views. Okay, these Pali terms are important. Remember, they are called Pubbe Kata Hetu Vada and Issara Nimmana Vada and අහේතු අපච්චයවාද. පුබ්බේ කත හේතුවාද. පුබ්බේ කත means done previously. Hetu means reason. The reason is what I did before. Issara nimmanavad. Issara means, issara means the creator. Iswara. Iswara, that's a Brahma. Another name for Brahma is Issara. Issara nimmana means nirmana, create, creation. Created by Iswara. Issara nimmanavad. Bekata hetuvada, issara nimmanavad. Ahetu appachyavad. No cause, no effect theory. Whatever you do, they are not effective. Okay, now what did Buddha say? Okay. So Buddha says, I approach these people and talk to them. I ask them, do you hold these views? Whatever person experiences, all this caused by what is done in the past. Then as by me, they admitted yes. If they say yes, this is what I say. Then in that case, a person is a killer of living beings because of what was done in the past. Person is a thief. Okay, so the point here is that you have to accept here. If you are a murderer, you have to forgive that person. If you are a liar, if you are a robber, okay, oh, all this happened because of the karmas. Okay, then you cannot punish that person. So you have to accept that person. So, a certain person, any person who has become criminal, they could be excused because of these past actions. So, therefore, this person should not have any desire or any intention to change because it is something that happened in the past. Okay, I have become like this because of my past karma. So, your effort is null and void. Point. Buddha says that okay, so it says one lives bewildered and unprotected. Okay, one cannot righteously refer to oneself as contemplative. In other words, you make an effort. Okay, you cannot say you make an effort. Okay, because if your present condition is caused by your past existence, you cannot make an effort. Okay. This way, my first righteous refutation of those Brahmins, contemplatives who hold such teachings. Okay. So I refute them. I challenge them by saying that. Okay. Second one. Sometimes the same thing is repeated here. Person, okay, same thing actually, Buddha says, okay. So, okay, it's a creator's will. Okay, then I have been created in such a way. Okay. So somebody, a murderer would say, okay, I'm a murderer. Okay, you know, now you give a reason. Why are you a murderer? I'm a murderer because I was created like this as a murderer. Good reason. In the same way, oh, I'm a murderer because I'm experiencing my bad karmas in the past. Okay. So you have to,
No choice.
I cannot do anything. You have to tell your judge. Okay, then you know, Buddha can refute. So your argument doesn't have any value. Okay, you cannot change it. So he's the same thing, see, a supreme being is a creator, so he says yes, then I said then in that case a person is a killer of living beings, I say all of these things because you have been created like this, okay, you have to accept it. See here they say there is no desire, no effort, okay, in other words you cannot make an effort, okay, it is meaningless. Same thing. Okay. Third point is okay. No, again, it is the nullification of human effort. Okay. Uh, pressed for reasons and rebuked by wise people, even though they may explain otherwise, remain stuck in inaction. Okay, is in other words, okay, your inaction. So your action is produce no effect. Okay, the Buddha says this. But this Dhamma taught by me is unrefuted, undefiled, and blameless, not faulted by knowledgeable Brahmins and contemplatives. So that is, it's very strong. My teaching is cannot be refuted. Okay, in which Dhamma taught by me is unrefuted, undefiled. Sensory, okay, so we will go down here. Okay, so towards the end. Let me see, I hit the picture. People, you live in these territories, this is small territories like, so what I'm experiencing is my bad karma. You live like that. Okay, what I'm experiencing right now is the cause of the God's will or divine power will. Oh, you say, oh, whatever I do, it doesn't do any good or any bad. So, the Buddha identified these three theories are very much harmful and injurious to the human being. Whether it is his or her material progress or worldly success or that person's spiritual progress. So that is the point, that's the main point Buddha wanted to emphasize. So we're coming back to our main point here, the man's position in the world, the human being. So your anthropology, right? Now who is the human being according to this teaching? A person who has a free will, okay? Unlimited by your past karmas or your divine power. Or any other cause and effect is effective. But this cause and effect is effective. In other words, what you do will produce positive or negative effects. In other words, you can change your own karmas. Okay, you can produce karmas right now. In other words, you have the power, ability to change your destiny. That is the Buddha's, the human potential, human skill and human potential. That is the point Buddha wanted to emphasize here. That is the message Buddha brought to the society. That's why Buddha ordained Upali, remember? Buddha ordained Upali. Upali was the barber. Buddha ordained the Upali first before he ordained the royal people. Maybe you have heard that story.
Before the prince.
Before his princess, yeah. And Buddha ordained, who are the others? Sunita, Sopaka, they were those who clean streets and all kind of things. Okay. Both men and women, on the other hand, okay, you know, to reach the highest bliss, the highest bliss in Buddhism is to achieve the enlightenment, right? So the Buddha said, both men and women have equal skills to reach that level. So that's one of the very, very drastic statements during that time where women were expected to... Equality, right. So women were expected to live in homes and raise children and make their husbands happy, right. So that was the thing that assigned to them those days, right. But during the society, right, the Buddha gave... altogether. So you have a skill. You have built both men and women. You know, these men are not just one caste or one group. Again, we go back to that statement, right? The waters of all rivers, when it fall into ocean, it's same water. Right? That. Okay, so your questions, comments?
Anything. Houston Buddhist Vihara.
Yeah.
That's why.
I already have the.
You have. Did you get? Did you find the right? Okay.
Because I need to understand what the activities are on Saturday and Sunday. So I could come in more frequently.
Okay.
So I'm gonna study the website tonight and then.
There's an online calendar, it's up to date.
Yeah.
It has all the events.
Well, but if you Google this, what she gave me.
Okay, so that's it.
I don't know why she'd tell you to look up Sri Lankan.
Sri Lankan Houston Buddhist.
Maybe she thought the word Sri Lanka or something.
I'll show you the correct one.
Yeah.
I'll show you the correct one. Sorry.
You see this is the one.
I opened it.
This is,
it doesn't look like that.
So this is HVV.org, right? You can write down the address there. So you can write down the address you gave it. Okay. She got the address. Okay.
Right. So you can go here.
So I have another question.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, you know, it's coming back to those traditions like the Bodhi Puja.
Right?
So last time in the previous classes that we did, we were talking about how when someone passes away.